Import Episode 20. It's 21st June 2014, streaming directly from Singapore, Rebuild Live.
All right. Welcome to Rebuild Live. In this episode, we'll be talking about inspiring young makers and getting involved in the Maker Faire with Kritika.
Yay! Welcome to episode 20 of We Build Live. I'm your host, Sayani, and on the soundboard is Chinmay. All right, so that's his introduction. And our special guest today is Kritika Ramanathan Kurik. Hi, Kritika.
Hello. Hello. It's good to be here.
I know, on a Saturday morning, especially for a busy mom, for a busy educator like Kritika. Thank you for joining us indeed.
It's a pleasure. Yeah.
So Kritika is a senior manager and an educator from Science Center Singapore. She's also a mother of two wonderful daughters. I believe they are 10 and below.
Yes, they are 7 and 5.
Wow, 7 and 5. Wow, very energetic two little daughters. And she is a self-proclaimed tinkerer and maker during her free time. That's like her me time and she totally loves it. Kritika, why don't you give us a little bit more information about yourself, how you got started into all this?
So I have always been interested in tinkering, and I noticed that about most people who tinker, who make things, that they've always been doing this ever since they were kids. So my mom used to be a crafter.
Oh.
And I remember that when I was a kid, I used to watch her making little dolls and, you know, things to hang on the doors. And I always used to bug her to make things along with her. And I remember that half the time what I made was not halfway as good for, you know, as the things that she used to make. But I guess that really got me started because I could see what she was creating and how it made her happy, and somehow it sort of bounced over to me. But then, of course, I went into school and then I got so caught up with all the stuff, all the studies that took up a lot of time. And then I sort of revisited the whole making thing after I became a mom. When I realized that what I made for the kids engaged them a lot more than what I bought for them.
Interesting. So you also had an engineering education, right?
Yes, mm-hmm. I did. So I was at NUS. I did an electrical engineering degree and I did a postgraduate in
computer
science.
Hey, I'm your junior probably. I did electrical engineering too.
Okay.
Cool.
Yeah, so that's basically what happened. And then I didn't really know much about the maker movement as such until maybe a couple of years ago when the Maker Faire was organized in Singapore. At the time, I was not with the Science Center. So I found out about the Maker Faire, let me see, sometime around early 2012. And then I happened to just write a Facebook message over at, I believe it was the National Arts Council. And I said, you know, we really should have one of these in Singapore. And then a couple of days later, somebody buzzed me and said, do you know what? The Science Center is organizing a Maker Faire this year. And so I said, okay, that's interesting. And I went for the Maker Faire. And after a while, it just so happened that an opportunity came up and I joined the Science Center as a staff. And the project
wow.
came to me. And it was like a nice little circle that got completed.
Great. We will definitely talk about Maker Faires and making with kids and a lot more. But before that, I believe Chinmay has a little gift for you. Chinmay.
Yeah. So we start every show, as always, with the first segment, which we call the Malformed Query. And here I get to ask our guest a question, and the guest has the choice to answer it or not. So your Malformed Query today, Kritika, is why can't you tell if a mountain climber is on his way up the mountain or on his way back down the mountain?
Why can't you tell or why can you tell?
Why can't you tell?
Why can't you tell if a mountain climber is on his way up or on his way down?
So I'll give you the answer. That's because he's a scalar, not a vector.
Oh, right. Okay.
All right. Thanks. So welcome to our show. And
I hope it has woken us all.
Yep. And with this really horrible joke, I'll give it back to Sayani to continue with the next segment.
Great. So the next segment is where we grill Kritika and get all the ideas out of her, all about Maker Faires and young makers. But before we do that, audience, for those of you who are listening to us live, if you have a question for Kritika, please tweet us at WeBuildSG, or you can also hashtag us, hashtag WeBuildLive. or get us on the IRC at the chat room on Freenode #WeBuildSG. So anyway, you can reach us. So the very first topic that we will dive into is all about young makers. So Kritika, I have noticed that when I work with fellow programmers who are adults, it's very much different from, let's say, when I was trying to play with my niece just a week ago and I had completely no clue. It was pretty challenging. But what is your take on what are the challenges in encouraging kids?
When we really talk about very young kids, I think the challenge is not to encourage them, but to stop them.
Oh.
Because kids are sort of naturally makers. You know, they want to make things, they want to create things, they want to use their hands. And I think when it comes to inspiring, especially children who are very, very young, I'm talking about kids under 8, 9, 10 years old, they always want to do things. There's this kid who comes to the Science Center very often. He's maybe in primary 4 or primary 5. And I just gave him, you know, there was this time when I gave him just a few pieces of paper, some aluminium tape, some batteries, and he was just at it for about, I don't know, maybe 2 hours, just doing things, making things, and getting so excited about the fact that he could just light up a couple of LEDs, you know. So,
wow.
So that's the thing. So I think inspiring young makers, especially when they're very young, is not a very difficult thing. What I think is important is to have an environment that supports this sort of making. And I think that's where the parents and the teachers and everyone comes in. Yeah.
Because I also feel that, you know, with all this stuff that you know, kids see these days with, you know, television commercials of, you know, all the products that you can buy off shelf, it's really hard to sort of get them to, you know, stop getting distracted by that and, you know, start making their own dolls or making their own toys, basically.
It is. I've tried this a couple of times with my own kids. So, you know, there was this time when my daughter wanted to get a $100 a dog or something. And she knows that asking me is not going to work because I wouldn't give it to her. So,
tough love.
Yeah. So straight away she goes and asks her grandfather because the grandfather is likely to get things like this for her. And then what happened is she bought it and she got the toy. And then a couple of days later, it was just lying at the side because there's only so many things you could do with a toy that you buy. And then after that, we sort of sat with her, we took it apart and made other things out of it. And that sort of took that, I mean, it was a bit, some people would think it's a waste of a $100 toy taking it apart, but if it's just lying down there, I don't think it's quite a waste anyway. So yeah, so I guess what I try to do with my children is to tell them that it's a lot more fun to make things by yourself. And it's a lot more engagement as well. And there is a lot more open-endedness. And when I sit and play with them versus me giving them a toy and walking away and doing my own things, it makes all the more difference. So I guess that's what is most important. Somebody sitting and guiding them through this making process instead of leaving them in front of the TV because they are inspired by what they see and not so much by what you tell them to do. So yeah, it's a difference between living what you preach versus just preaching it, you know. So, yeah.
True, very true. And it's very difficult to do that. Great. So, Kritika, what are some of the activities you would recommend? I don't really know how to get started at all. So even for a clueless person like me, what would you kind of suggest?
So when we talk about inspiring kids, I wouldn't look at it in terms of activities. I would, again, look at it more in terms of setting the right environment. If you're coming at it from a parent perspective, I would say have several stations.
At home,
I do that at home as well. So we've got all these little stations where my kids can tinker with different things. We've got a music corner. We've got a tinkering with electronics corner. We've got a sewing corner where they've got baskets of yarn and things.
Wow.
So essentially, my kids sort of move around these corners as and how they want to. If they want some quiet place, we've got a reading nook that they can sit at. And I think that's very important because when we think of an activity, often we think of a goal.
And what
I find about tinkering is, once you think of a goal and say, okay, I finished the goal, okay, I'm done, that sort of defeats the point, because when you work on a tinkering project or a making project, it's something that will never end. It's something that you can forever improve.
Wow.
And that's something true. That the environment is what is supposed to give to the child. Yeah.
How about some outdoor activities? I just kind of thought about it.
Yes. So we do have a lot of playgrounds, in Singapore where you could take kids to, and there are other places. There are wonderful places where you could go down to where learning is encouraged. A good example would be the children's garden that's recently opened up in the Gardens by the Bay. So again, there are spaces where a lot of not very conventional exploration is encouraged.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so there are spaces. But again, when we go to these places, it's good not to just, say, okay, this is what is there, I've seen it, and let's go. But actually absorb and explore the environment.
Great, great. So, Trithika, you have been part of the Science Center. How do you think communities can sort of help to create this environment that you're talking about?
Well, actually, I can speak on behalf of Science Center because I've been working there for about a couple of years already. So, we have at Science Center, we do have a lot of competitions and workshops which encourage students and children to tinker. For example, there is the Sony Creative competition, which has been running for, I think, tens of years. So this is a competition where primary school students make a toy. And they have to make a science toy, which actually has to illustrate a scientific concept. But it can be a very, very simple toy. So what we do when we give out this competition is we discourage participants from using things like Arduinos, things like Makey Makeys, and go back to the basics of the science. So we see quite a lot of marble mazes, we see kaleidoscopes, very basic science toys, which somehow parents also seem to work with their kids. So when we talk to the kids, who come and present their work, we see things like, oh, my mom helped me to solder this together. And then we ask, oh, okay, is your mom an engineer? Oh, no, she's doing sales somewhere else.
So
we do have a lot of competitions, and we do have the Science Festival, which we do every year as part of the Singapore Science Festival. So there is Maker Faire, in fact, as part of the Science Festival as well. And there are activities during this time, and there are activities that run throughout the year, and as well as people coming to the Science Center, because the Science Center itself is an environment which encourages hands-on explorations. So we've recently got this Kids Stop, which is a science museum or a science center for children who are 18 months to 8 years old.
Okay, and this is inside the Science Center?
This is inside the Science Center. It's inside the Omni Theater building, built around the Omni Theater. I don't know if you know that there used to be this astronomy planets exhibition. Gone off now, yes, and yes. Instead of that, we've got Kidstop. And what's nice about Kidstop, of course, is we've got, little wind tubes where, kids can construct something, make it, try and see whether it floats in the wind tunnel. We've got areas where they can, there's this building area where they can actually build a ball machine or try and see how certain factors influence how your balls flow through the maze that was built for the balls and areas like that. So there are... there are a lot of initiatives by the Science Center that sort of encourage parents and kids and schools and students to explore and to make and tinker. The question, of course, is to get this word out, to bring people in, and which is effectively what we are trying to do now. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I remember when I used to go to Science Center as a student, you'd get field trips to go to Singapore Science Center. And it's exactly this. I remember all, back in the day in primary school, even when we went there, the ability to tinker, to play with things, to find out. This is what Science Center has always been for me. And it's just great to see that it's kept up and, there's new cool things coming up.
Yeah.
I think even now, if I go to Science Center, I'm really excited.
We actually have this tinkering space as part of our temporary exhibition. We put a temporary exhibition that's at, it's called Exploring Nature's Design, which includes a little component on people who carve seeds. There is a set of animals, robot animals, and there is a little component which has which is a tinkering component, and we have places where kids can play with paper circuits. They can make their own microscopes out of laser pointers and, you know, things like that. So yeah, it's actually on right now, so people can go down and take a look.
Okay. Here's another question. Like, let's say, you know, one of our audience who wants to start their kids to get into tinkering and stuff. What's a good place where they can start? You know, where they can? Well, of course, Visiting Science Center is one of them. But you know, like, can they buy some stuff, or can they, you know, are there websites that they can refer to?
Yes, plenty of them. So there is this website which I find particularly inspiring. It's called DIY.org. Where basically what happens is, kids can work on little projects, little skills, and earn badges. And I tried this, of course, with my daughter as well as a couple of students that I was mentoring earlier on. I think when kids complete a challenge and then the challenges are sent to moderators who would approve and comment on the projects, and it's a whole social network around projects that children make, which is really awesome. And because it's this global thing, and there are little resources, so you can look at all the projects that other children around the world have made, and you can also sort of fork a project that somebody else has made. So let's say that, you know, I make a paper circuit and somebody takes my idea and does something more to it, you can sort of say, oh, I based my project on somebody else's project. And that's really cool. And kids can have kids can do many, many different challenges spanning a whole variety of disciplines. So they can go all the way from something like baking all the way up to, say, front-end or you know, back-end development and things like that. So
hardware, software, nature. I'm actually looking at the website right now. It really reminds me of what I used to do during my brownie or scouting days as a primary school
kid. But with
kid.
The web generation added to it.
Exactly. And here you can interact with kids all around the world. And like you said, you can have the concept of forking a kid's project and then making it your own. Really cool stuff. So I see things like tree felling.
I don't think that's allowed in Singapore. but here's the interesting thing, right? Like, at least if you look at this website, if you look at, you know, videos of other kids doing it, kids in Singapore would actually know that that's actually a possibility. Because in Singapore, you would never know that there's things like, you know, that you're allowed to, you know, cut trees or climb trees and stuff like that.
Yeah, yeah. Or that milk does not always come from supermarkets.
It comes from
somewhere.
And same goes for the vegetables as well. But, yeah.
Great. This is a great resource. Yeah. Also, this is a great resource for parents. You know, sometimes parents will probably run out of ideas what to do with their kids because they're always so much full of energy.
Yes, they are.
I feel.
So we do have parents of 4-year-old kids who don't quite follow the system, but they also can pick up activities that are there, which they think may interest the child and sort of follow through these activities at home. And that's really a fantastic thing as well. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Cool. Thanks, Kritika, for this insight into young makers. Let's move on to the next topic, which is a Maker Faire, or rather Mini Maker Faire Singapore, which is happening in July. And audience, once again, if you have questions, get them ready. And after this, so you can ask Kritika as well. So Kritika, what was your experience in getting involved in the organization of the Mini Maker Faire Singapore?
I think it was totally crazy. So this year, what we did differently from last year was we had all these fringe events that sort of led up to Maker Faire, I mean, which are still leading up to Maker Faire. And it's been awesome because we've had this whole variety of makers who have come in and who want to spend their time facilitating at these fringe events. And we've got a variety of makers. So we've got all the way from people who do origami to people who do 3D printing, and they all come and they just spend half their Saturdays, you know, talking with people, interacting, sharing their stuff, and that's been really awesome. And that's one of the things that's really the highlight of organizing the Maker Faire this year.
I think the good thing about fringe events is that it kind of builds up the momentum all the way to the Mini Maker Faire. And also, like you said, the makers who are not previously part of this community can come and join.
And it's also interesting because parents, they like to see that there is a bit of a deeper engagement. And so I've actually had parents who come for fringe events asking me whether there is something like a membership where, you know, they can keep bringing their kids into this kind of a maker momentum, which I think was really a nice thing. And yes, we are exploring it.
So great,
yes,
great. So there will be something.
We're exploring it. So probably there will be something that you can look forward to.
Very cool. Yeah, I was impressed by the Fringe events, because I think you started, what, 3 months before something?
The first one was in March. Yeah. So
and then just like every couple of weeks, there is something happening somewhere.
Yes.
And even I want to attend all of those.
Yeah,
interesting.
Yeah, so when we started off, we were wondering, you know, is it just too much? Are we spreading ourselves too thin? Mm-hmm. But I think it's been awesome, because the take-up from the community has been awesome.
That's really... can I ask you, how big is the team that's organizing Maker Faire? I'm just curious.
About 6 people from the Science
Center.
Wow,
that's really tiny.
Yeah. Wow, really?
For the amount of stuff that's happening. And every... I mean, I've been to the past 2 Maker Faires, which happened in Singapore. And every year, it just went, you know, much, much bigger. And it looks like this year, it's going to be even bigger. So for a 6 people team to organize that, that's quite a feat.
It is. And it's
congrats.
Yeah,
congrats.
And the 6 of us are having the time of our lives doing it.
I can imagine.
So it's just that we meet such a huge...
And probably you guys are makers yourself.
Yes, we
yourself.
Are. All of us are. So we have Kiat Teng, who is a crafter. We've got Eileen, who likes to make everything. You know, she picked up crocheting when we did the yarn bombing. And, you know, so... And
nice.
It's not just that we're makers. We are people who really like to learn new stuff. So... So that's I think that's one of the critical components of the Maker Faire. It's very inclusive. It doesn't say that you have to be a sciencey person or an artsy person to get it.
And
this,
I think that's the beauty of Maker Faire, where, you know, everybody comes together and you know, enjoys making and encourages everybody else, regardless of what background you come from or what is specifically the thing that you're creating.
Yes, that's true. Yeah.
Tell us about this yarn bombing thing, because I've been looking at this on Facebook all the time. So what is it?
The what, sir?
Yarn bombing.
Okay. Yarn bombing is this project that was started by a colleague of mine, Kiat Teng, as well as Agatha, who I think quite a few of the maker community know her, because she's been a very active maker in the past.
She does a lot
years.
Of work with fabrics and stuff like that, right?
There's a lot of work with fabrics.
Wearables.
And recently she started doing wearable electronics,
yeah,
so to speak, putting Arduino lily pads and LEDs and things on the stuff that she sews. And she's basically an upcycler, actually.
Okay. So upcycling, for our audience who don't know about it, is basically like taking old stuff and renovating it, or how do you put it?
Yeah, and making new things out of them, giving them a new lease of life, I guess.
Okay.
Yeah.
I remember Agatha showed this really cool project at, I think it was Arduino Day, where she had a purse where when you open it, it lights up inside, which I thought was really cool, where, you know, because you always want to, you know, it's dark, you can't see what's inside your purse, and then there's LEDs inside and it just lights up. It's pretty useful.
Yeah.
So stuff like
she
that.
Had the other one, which was a bicycle bag, which sort of lights up in the dark as well. So I think she did that with the lily pad and the light sensor.
Very cool.
So
yarn bombing. Sorry, we got digressed.
So yarn bombing is so when we really think about all those traditional crafts like knitting, crocheting, weaving, we tend to think of them as not in a very modern sense. It's something that my grandma used to do. So, you know, why is it so interesting? But yarn bombing is sort of putting this in a very modern, artsy way. So what the yarn bombing project does is to cover places which are accessed by public quite a bit with yarn.
Okay.
That's about it. So
it's almost like a guerrilla, you know, cover stuff with yarn kind of a...
Yes, it's like
art.
A cover stuff with yarn thing. The magic about yarn bombing is somehow it brings people together who like to knit, and mostly people sort of, you know, knit in their own time. I used to do crocheting, and I used to just sit in my corner and do it, you know, when my kids were sleeping and I was watching TV.
Yeah.
But somehow it brings all these people together. And we had this session over at Science Center a couple of weeks ago. And we had about 30-odd people sitting around a huge table and just putting together everybody's knitting so that we could do this yarn bombed piece.
Yeah, and then what did you cover that time?
We covered the dinosaur in front of the Science Center.
Whoa, that's so cool. It was huge. I remember seeing it recently. I was like, that's a huge dinosaur.
Yeah, so we had this... So most of the pieces that come in the yarn bombing, so it was like there was... there were pieces that came out of old T-shirts, plastic bag yarn. So the yarn came from different kinds of materials. I think the total length of the piece that was knitted all together was something like around 240 meters.
Whoa! And that was
or something. I'm not entirely sure. I have to get back to you on that. Sure. But it was a really, really long piece.
Yeah.
May not be 240 meters.
Anyway, I remember the dinosaur is huge, so that must have been quite a big piece. That's pretty
cool. So we did a scarf for the dinosaur.
Oh, so is it still there? Can we go check it out? The scarf?
Yes, you can go and check it out. Yeah.
Okay.
So I want to clarify that it was 240 squares of 4 inches each.
Okay.
So yeah.
Well, that's still quite a lot.
Mm. Yeah.
Nice. So, Kritika, talking about the organization of the Mini Maker Faire once again, could you like give us an insight about the Maker Faire itself? Like, where did it get started? I believe it was part of O'Reilly in U.S. And how does this organization work? Is it like a franchise, or let's say in another city, if somebody wants to start their own Mini Maker Faire, who do you contact and things like that?
So if you want to start your own Maker Faire, you would have to contact Make Media.
Oh, Make Media, okay.
Yes, and obtain a license for organizing the Maker Faire.
Okay.
So you would get, mostly if you're out of the U.S., you would get the a license for organizing the Mini Maker Faire.
Okay.
After a few years, you could request for an upgrade to having a Maker Faire, which is like a featured Maker Faire.
Nice.
Yes.
So the Make Media is in San Francisco?
Yeah. Yes, in the U.S., yeah.
Right. So, Kritika, of course, I'm very curious. So, in how many years will Singapore apply for the big license?
we are pushing for it.
Wow.
So, because next year is G50, so we are really pushing
for
it.
Yeah, that would be really
cool.
Oh,
yes, 50 years of Singapore's birthday. Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah.
But let's see how that works.
Yeah. I guess they also want to see that the Mini Maker Faire has had a little bit of experience of over the few years before the big thing happens.
Yes, they do, yeah.
Great. So, Kritika, one last question. What are you most excited about this year's Mini Maker Faire Singapore? Is that a very difficult question?
It's an incredibly difficult question. Oh, my goodness. Okay. So we've got something. I just put up this on the Facebook this morning. We've got about 20 workshops happening over 2 days.
Wow.
And they span everything from paper art to we've got this segment where people come in and build their 3D printers over in 2 days. It's like a make your own 3D printer workshop that's held that is also being organized by a group of makers. So it's, oh my goodness, and we do have the robotics. We do have we have people who are coming in doing something on quantum science, if you can believe it.
Wow.
So it's like, yeah, so. That's seriously a hard question to answer.
Sorry about that. But wow, it's really interesting. And what I really like is that there's no segmentation of subjects. Everything just comes together. Science, physics, chemistry, or even arts, music, languages.
Yes, and when that comes in, you do see a sort of a ground up... We do see a sort of a ground-up blending of different subjects. So last year in Maker Faire, we had a cardboard maze, which was rigged with a dragon.
Ah, yes.
And somehow, if you hit it, the dragon has some sensors. So if you keep hitting the dragon, you know, the dragon would die or something. So that's like a very traditional crafty thing, like cardboard sculpting combined together with sensors. And of course, something like that would inspire other makers who are crafters to rig their stuff with technology. Mm-hmm. And you do see that happening as a result of, bringing the community together in an event like Maker Faire. Mm-hmm. And I think... bottom line, that is what excites me more than the individual booths. It's the perspective of having a sort of an interdisciplinary mingling of the various things that people make. You know, that's sort of what's
true.
Most exciting about this. Yeah,
true. All right, great. So, Chinmay, at this point of time, let's go to the next segment, which is the audience questions. Any questions for them?
Yep. So the next segment we have is the IO polling segment, and I'll go check out the chat room to see if there's any questions. But while I do that, I'll start off with a question that I have myself, which is, what is one thing that, Kritika, you have learned yourself while tinkering with your kids?
So have I picked up things? I have picked up quite a bit of things. So I actually look a lot at logs. So I've picked up, for instance, cardboard sculpting. I never used to do that before. I've picked up paper circuits. You know, when you do engineering, you do breadboards and things. You know, you never really look. I've picked up squishy circuits. You know, which is like using Play-Doh to design circuits that conduct electricity and things like that. So what I've learned is what looks complicated can actually be simplified for a 4, 5, 6-year-old to learn and understand.
Is there a technique around that? Do you approach it in a specific way to simplify, you know, something for a 4-year-old or 5-year-old?
I guess, you know, there is this there is this term, it's called the zone of proximal development. So basically, what we're trying to say is, you know, when you sit in a lecture, for instance, you know, you're basically listening to it, and if something is really very easy, you're just going to switch off. And when something is just way too difficult, it's going to go right over your head, and you're going to switch off.
I've heard of that. So just something in the middle.
Something just right in the middle, and the trick is, of course, to find what is right in the middle for your kid. And that's always hard, and it's hard in a classroom setting. I can see that'd be very hard because you've got a teacher who has got 40 students to deal with. Whereas in a home setting or in a sort of a museum setting where you deal with a lot fewer students at a time, it's easy to identify what is the zone of proximal. I wouldn't say it's easy, but it's possible to identify what's the zone of proximal development for the child. And so one of the ways in which people do it, at least in the blogs that I read, is to sort of add one element extra. So for instance, if you look at squishy circuits, that's a very successful model of introducing very young kids to electricity. And the way that works is to have Play-Doh, which kids are very familiar with. And then you add the extra component, which is the LED or the battery or, you know, something like that. And that helps because you're just adding one thing and something that the kids... So there's one new thing and everything is old, and it tends to hit the zone of proximal development for the child.
Okay. So you start with something that they're really used to and sort of make it just slightly more complicated by adding a new...
Just slightly more complicated. But the trick is that you have to find what is the slightly more complicated for the child.
Right, yeah. And then I think that depends on your own child and, you know, every
Absolutely.
Person is different that way.
Absolutely.
Very cool. Next question from our chat room. Drenboy asks... are there any moments from the previous Maker Faire which really stood out and were really interesting and unexpectedly good for you? Or any of the fringe events as well, actually?
Any of the fringe events as well. Okay, let me see. So we just had this fringe event over which is finished on the 7th of June. And that stood out because we had a group of about 7 makers who were facilitating activities. And one of them is Panyu, who would actually be over at Maker Faire showcasing models of the Marina Bay. Now, what Panyu did over on the 7th of June was he made kaleidoscopes using just everyday materials, you know, like paper towel rolls and papers and things like that. Now, what stood out and what really intrigued me was he had actually rigged up this video-taking device. So you could just pop your handphone inside this device, sort of tighten the knobs and everything. And after that, you could take a video of the image that is formed in the screen of your kaleidoscope.
Ooh, this is really interesting.
Which was... very interesting for kids because not only could they make a kaleidoscope that they could take home, they could also take a video of the image that is formed in the kaleidoscope.
I
guess that's sort of what I mean by, you know, engaging the kids these days who are so hooked to their phones, you know. So there is a world out there and it doesn't have to be exactly mutually exclusive from your cyber world.
And what I like about it is, the kids are excited about phones and playing games, but instead of playing games, they create something with their phone, which is, you know, which is really great, I think.
Yeah.
Very cool. Last question, because that's all the time we got from our chat room, is are there going to be international makers at this year's Maker Faire in Singapore?
Yes, we do. We do have a good number of international makers. We've got a group from Malaysia who's coming in to do robotics.
Cool.
We've got Masakazu Takasu from Japan, yeah, from Team Lab. He's going to be doing something quite interesting. There are some hints on the Facebook, but I'm not going to divulge much. Come over to Maker Faire to see what he's going to do.
Yep.
That's a good tease. I'm pretty sure most of our audience will definitely be coming down. So yeah, I'm sure they'll figure out what he's going to be doing. Awesome.
Sure.
Thanks for answering our IO polling section. And we will move on to the next segment, which is Rapid Fire. So in this segment, I again get to ask you a lot of questions, but this time you have to answer in quick one, two word or in a small phrase answers. Just to get to know you and what you like and what you don't like kind of stuff. All right? Ready?
Yeah.
What is your current favorite maker or tinker book that you're reading or that you really like?
The Art of Tinkering.
The Art of Tinkering by?
It's by The Exploratorium.
Okay.
Yeah, it's cool. Got all these little activities and projects that have been done by artists and makers in the who have been somehow affiliated with the Exploratorium, and they have a whole range of activities from toothpick sculptures to tape art to paper circuits to the whole range of stuff, which is really awesome. Yeah.
Sweet. Is there a maker or tinker that you idealize a lot, that you look up to?
Oh, wow. That's a hard one.
Someone you would want people to follow. That's sort of where we come from.
Okay, follow SL Square, Sustainable Living Lab in Singapore.
Yeah, they've been doing some really...
That's a very inspiring group of makers who work on pretty much social... They have a very strong social cause as well that they're following.
Absolutely. Very cool. Is there a new tool in this area that you're looking to pick up in the future? In the near future?
Oh, that's a good one. I wanted to actually pick up how to do strand beads. You know those wind-powered strand beads that have been done by Theo Jansson.
No, what are those? Can you?
You could probably Google Theo Jansson. So he's got these huge monstrous creatures that actually stand are there in the sand, and they're powered by the wind, and they start moving.
Oh, okay.
And I've been trying for a bit. I admit I don't have much time because Maker Faire is looming up. There's a lot of things to do.
Yeah.
So I've been trying to make my own miniature strand beasts using cardboards and little clips and stuff. So yeah, hopefully that will come up shortly.
Very cool. Is there a favorite website that you have for getting your news or new projects that you want to try out?
Quite a few. Make Instructables, DIY, quite a few of them, yes.
Okay. What's your current favorite tool that you use for tinkering? Anything that you have and you're really excited about using?
I'm excited about my drill because I just learned how to use the hammer drill.
Oh, now you're going to be drilling everything.
Yeah, I learned how to drill through concrete. I was so excited about that, but yeah.
Cool. All right, last question. Is there a makerspace or a hackerspace that you're looking forward to visit in the next few months or a few years?
Yes, there is a makerspace that is going to be opened at the NDC.
Yes.
So I'm looking forward to seeing that. I'm, of course, looking forward to seeing the Maker Block Festival that's coming up in the end of June as well. So there are a lot of things going on for makers in Singapore, and suddenly the whole community has sort of exploded exponentially.
That I agree.
So yeah,
exploded literally.
Yep.
It is going crazy right now. There's just so many things happening right now.
That's true.
All right, thank you very much for answering our rapid fire round, and I'll head it back to Sani to continue with the last few
All
seconds.
All right, so the next segment is called Doubly Linked List, and this is where we mention some of the cool hardware, software, projects all around the world so that you can go ahead and try them as well. So the very first one is Amazon Fire Phone. Kritika, what phone do you use? What operating system?
Samsung Note 1.
Okay, so you use Android.
Yes, I do Android.
So Amazon Fire has one really cool feature that I thought would be really interesting, which is it has this thing where you, if you actually hold the phone in your hand and sort of twist around, the software notices that you're actually moving the phone and you're looking at it in a different way. And it's able to show you this effect of three dimensions. So the idea is if you go to Amazon.com and you're looking at a shoe or a hammer, and you turn your phone around, you actually see the hammer in three dimensions, which I think is really cool for, you know, showing off things or projects where you want to show off something in
literally
multiple dimensions.
Literally being a physical thing live.
Exactly. There's a tactical element to it, right? Because you move things around. And I think that's the one cool feature about the phone.
It's
Otherwise,
new.
You know, it's just...
new. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, it's Android.
And how do they do that? Is it using that?
They actually have like 8 cameras on their thing.
Oh, my goodness. All right.
That explains it.
Yeah. So they have like lots of cameras. So they basically sort of gauge how the phone is moving very, very accurately. And then they're able to give that signal back to the software. The software figures out how to, you know, show the image differently because of that.
Great. So the next link, in fact, the next three links are all by Google. So they launched a few projects this weekend, the past week. The first one is called the Web Starter Kit. It is like a boilerplate and tooling for multiple device development. I didn't have a chance to try it out, but it looks really cool. So it's a web-based thing, and it's responsive. It's definitely responsive in the coding part of it. So you can view it on mobile, on tablet, on desktop. So go ahead and download and try it. The next one is also by Google. It's called Web Fundamentals. It's a...
Yeah, they're kind of sister projects, I think.
Yeah, it's a like sister project. So it kind of like...
The starter kit is like the tool, and the fundamentals is like a guide on how
best
to use
practices.
The tools and best practices.
Yeah, so go and have a read through it and download and try it. And the last one is also by Google. It's called Made with Code. And it's to kind of encourage girls to code and make things all around them and get involved in the maker movement in the world of hardware and software. So I think, once again, they are very interesting, cool resources, lots of inspiration. Go ahead, makers, designers, developers, download them and try it out. Pass it to someone who might be interested. Awesome.
The Made with Code website, I'm just looking at that, is really, really interesting.
Yeah.
You know, it's got these profiles of makers and what kind of projects they have done.
And some of the projects there are just amazing.
Yeah. What I'm really liking is that nobody's segmenting the subjects like, oh, this is software. Everybody's like kind of like enthusiastically like just merging everything, physics, chemistry, arts, jewelry, everything just comes together and you're just making stuff. Cool. And next segment is called the event loop. This is where we also mention cool events around the region in Singapore. So first up is Red Dot Ruby Conference, which is coming up next week on 26th to 27th June. I'll be there. Who else is going there? So if you're a software developer and playing with Ruby, be sure to buy the ticket. And I bet there'll be awesome speakers. Yeah, there are awesome speakers like Aaron Patterson and Koichi Sasada. A lot of cool developers coming up to speak and engage. So go and buy your ticket. The next one is Maker's Blog that Kritika, you just mentioned. Do you have an insight to it? What William Hui, the organizer, is doing?
Well, I know that it's going to be awesome. I know that there is
William,
a meetup
right?
that's scheduled this...
Because
it's William. I know that there is also a meetup that's scheduled this Friday where I think about quite a number of makers are going. I think, Chinna, you're also going to do something.
I'm doing a workshop on how to make yogurt. I mean, it's not the most complicated workshop, but apparently the DIY Bios group in Singapore wants to learn how to make yogurt at home. And I was like, okay, I'll help you guys out. I'll show you how to make yogurt.
Yes, yogurt can be made at home.
Yeah, it is.
That sort of, I think, was quite interesting because we had a speaker over, Malte, who was sort of passing by Singapore on his way to, I believe, Copenhagen. Mm-hmm. And he sort of did a sharing for the DIY Bio group. And he was sharing with us how he makes different kinds of yogurts and some yogurt that's really, really slimy and stuff. So I guess and somehow that sort of spiraled the DIY. That's another group which is really great.
Yeah, they are the DIY Bio Singapore group, and it's getting very active and lots of events happening. But Maker Block, I think, you know, just look at the schedule if you want to know what is happening.
It's like
amazing.
A 10-day festival. It's like from 27 June to 7th July.
Yep.
And seriously, like, look at the topics. It's so good. It's like
it's just
cardboard.
Something happening every day, all the time.
Yeah, and at every hour, somebody's coming and teaching you things. So go and get involved. It's 10 days. I'm sure we can get some hour out of our busy schedule to go ahead and see something new. So it's happening in, where is it happening? It's happening
Suntec City.
Yeah, Suntec City. Yep. That's right. And of course, the last one is Maker Faire Fringe Events and Mini Maker Faire. Kritika, I think you are in much better position to give us the gossips.
Come okay, right. So Maker Faire itself is happening on 26th and 27th of July over at Sanjakashu CC. That's okay. In Bukit Panjang. As for fringe events, let's see what's happening. Tomorrow, we are doing the yarn bombing again. And we are yarn bombing the Sinja CC. So the CC has given us permission to yarn bomb some of the pillars over there. And simultaneously, as we do that, we are also yarn bombing the dinosaur, cardboard dinosaur that Bart, who is the cardboard sculpture whom many of you have seen before in the Maker Faires, will be building over at the CC. So come on over. It starts at around 10 and goes on till about 1 o'clock at the Sinja CC. That's happening tomorrow. On the 13th of July, we are meeting with a group of bookbinders who will be doing workshops at Science Center on bookbinding. Different kinds of books, origami, and we also have the urban sketchers coming over who will be doing botanical sketching at the Science Center. That's happening on the 13th of July. On the 19th of July, we've got the Singapore Mini Maker Faire Education Day. That's happening at UTown.
In NUS.
In NUS.
Yep.
Education Day is essentially showcasing projects that was done, maker projects that was done by students. That could be a lot of very interesting projects over there. So we've got a bunch of students who spent 3 days at the Science Center doing a deconstruct makerthon. So what they did was they took apart old electronics, printers, and came up with really interesting stuff. One group did a 3D scanner using an old webcam and the tape recorder, a CD writer from a CD player from a tape recorder. And another group did they took apart a printer and they made a jam spreader out of it. I don't recommend eating it, but you know, it's a nice project to see. So we had some very interesting projects that be up on Maker Faire Education Day.
Sweet.
Next week we have a camp happening at Science Center for students, and of course everyone is invited to come over and take a look. So these are students who will be doing urban farming projects over a period of 4 days. And so that's a camp that is done together with Shell Singapore.
Nice.
So that's happening. And then, of course, there is Maker Faire on the 26th and 27th of July. So,
my calendar is
booked. So there are lots of things happening.
To be full of Maker Faire events now.
So I only wish I had two things. One way is somehow turn me back into a kid so I could actually take part in all these events. And then secondly, have a time machine or something so I could get more time so I could actually have to go and attend this event. So sounds so interesting.
And I shouldn't forget that there is a Science Ahoy program which is going on as part of the Science Festival from the 11th to 18th of July.
Okay.
And essentially what students can do is they basically can walk around different stations and it's like, you know, they are going on a journey, and to sort of make sure that their voyage is successful, they have to do some chemistry activities, some food science activities, some tinkering activities where they build their boats and sort of have a successful journey. So these are little activities that are happening, and the whole of Science Festival is sort of focused on learning through making and play and learning, essentially. So, yeah.
Wow, awesome. Thanks, Kritika. It's like all of us are like just listening to it is already so exciting. I can imagine what going there will be like.
Yeah.
Thank you for organizing and being part of this team, and seriously, like inspiring everyone around us, from kids to adults. And really, I feel maybe previously the makers would be doing this by themselves as a lonely effort, but now with the community, they have a support group kind of like encouraging and making all together. So seriously, a huge thanks to the work you do and of course Science Center Singapore, Make Media, Make a Fair. But the last segment, which is called Electric Plug. That was the Electric Plug. How can people reach you, whether it's online or offline?
Okay, for inquiries regarding Maker Faire, people could contact me at mf.singapore, M for maker, F for fair, mini-maker.singapore@gmail.com. And there is, of course, the Singapore Mini Maker Fair Facebook page, which I think one of us would
put it in the show notes.
Yeah, we'll put all the links in the show notes. So there's also the Maker Fair website, I'm sure people
and
can...
the blog as well, and the Science Festival website as well. So
okay, so Science Festival has a website as well for okay. And what do you know the website off the top of your head?
I think you can just Google Science Festival.
Okay, I'll put it in the I'll put it in the show notes. No worries.
Yeah.
Cool.
Cool. And of course, if you go to any of the Fringe events, you can meet Kritika in person.
Yes. Naturally, tomorrow it's in business.
Great.
Starting.
Thank you, Kritika. Really, thank you so much. So, yeah, that's it for episode 20 of We Build Live. We will get together again online on another Saturday morning with another cool guest. Until then, return zero.